when it's close to get rid of these fallible voting machines.
We will have to leave it there. Dr. Jill Stein, 2016 presidential nominee of the Green Party. And that does it for our show. If you'd like to see our 20th anniversary Democracy Now! Event at Riverside Church, you can go online to see the whole thing with Danny DeVito, Danny Glover, Harry Belafonte, Noam Chomsky, Juan Gonzalez, Jeremy Scahill, and many others also performing, as well, Patti Smith and Tom Morello. DemocracyNow.org is the place to go. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us.
This is WHFR Dearborn, and now it's time for our public affairs show, and we call it the new WHFR Journal. Hi, this is Jay Koronek, and you're listening to the new WHFR Journal. Thank you for tuning in today. Today is December the 9th, 2016, and I am here in the studio with our WHFR News Director, John Conroy. How are you doing, John?
I'm doing well, Jay. How are you, sir?
Okay. How was that drive in from Gross Eel Township?
Today was fine. Yesterday was a different story, but today was fine.
Okay, yeah. The ice really accumulated yesterday afternoon, and it was pretty hazardous, I know, around rush hour here, at least in the Dearborn area. And we're supposed to get more, and somebody said this morning maybe 6 inches late Sunday night by Monday morning. Oh, my goodness. Well, as long as it stays, you know, right below freezing in the high 20s, that's prime snow time, because almost any condensation will come down in little flakes.
Yes.
And the scary thing, you know, is everyone is different.
Everyone is different.
Every single flake has a different pattern on it. Check it out sometime, folks. Just, you know, get out there with a frosty pane of glass and collect a few, and then use your magnifying glass, and hopefully don't breathe on it too hard because they'll melt. But yeah, it's hard to believe. How can that be possible that every snowflake has a different pattern? There's that much random chance available in ways that patterns can form. Are they all six-pointed?
I don't know.
These are big questions, and I'm sorry that the new WHFR Journal only covers local Dearborn and not international news like snowflake design. And, of course, this time of year, it's mainly a lot of holiday events going on, but not a lot of hard news. I mean, the elections are over, except for the recounts, wherever that's happening. And as you just heard in Democracy Now!, the program that follows this show, a great national, international news show that has news you won't hear anywhere else on the dial. That's noon to 1 o'clock every Friday here, WHFR.FM, the station making waves. Here's a story. It was in last Sunday's Press and Guide, and it's about a meeting that was held, an open meeting, a town hall meeting in Dearborn, right by, in my neighborhood, St. Kateri's Catholic Church. And it used to be called something more pronounceable, but they rededicated the church to this saint who was a Native American woman. And, you know, just a little ironic to me, of course, that the Native American woman had to be converted from her pagan religious beliefs, in other words, her Native American religion, to become Catholic. And then she still did some really good miraculous deeds in order to become a saint. So That's wonderful that in spite of being forced to change her religion, she was still a great person. So nothing wrong with that. But anyway, he came there, and St. Kateri, because they actually closed the Catholic church in Melvindale or somewhere downriver because of poor attendance or whatever, and they combined them, that they expanded the meeting rooms and facilities at the church there. And this is, I'm talking about Outer Drive east of Greenfield, Rotunda Drive east of Greenfield, and in the so-called Springwells Park Association neighborhood. And And so it's really a big facility. I think that their meeting room would probably hold a couple hundred people at least. And so Police Chief Ron Haddad had his meeting, and he began talking about how Part 1 crimes, as they call them in the police business, which is murder and non-negligent homicide, forcible rape. Is there such a thing as unforced rape? I can't understand that. Robbery, aggravated assault, burglary, motor vehicle theft, larceny theft, and arson. So that's the Part 1 crimes. I would call them really serious crimes. Okay.
Really bad crimes.
Yeah, right. Have decreased every year since he became chief in 2008. So it was all due to his work. Well, under his watch, let's put it that way, that the numbers declined. I have to say from my own knowledge, and it's not just an opinion, but I can't quote the source right now, but serious crimes have declined in the United States as a whole for the last 20, 30 years. There's not as much crime as there was before, even if you think about the, all those illegal Mexicans coming in and raping people and killing people that a certain president-elect was talking about without any factual basis, by the way. It was not true at all. And then you had some people voting for certain presidential candidates saying they were against all the crime in this country in general. And crime is less and less every year, folks. Yes, it gets reported. John came in, you came in telling me about the tragedy in Oakland, California, which is about 3,000 miles away, John. Well, I'm exaggerating slightly, but, and that's bad, but it's a huge country, and 330 million people, we're going to get into trouble. There's going to be accidents. People will be dying every day, and it's all tragic, especially if... Well, how is it not tragic? Everyone's death diminishes me. And I don't know, some great poet said that. And that in a way, that's certainly true, because everybody has potential to do good things if they're still alive. And if they're not, that's a great tragedy. So we're sorry about that. But 50, 60 years ago, when I was growing up, John doesn't remember. He's much younger than I am. You didn't hear about that stuff.
No.
In Michigan, that happened in Oakland, California, like that fire. You just wouldn't hear. Maybe in a newspaper.
3 or 4 days later, maybe.
Maybe there'd be some pictures in Life magazine or something if it was particularly horrific. And that came out, was that weekly? I think Life was weekly for when it first started.
More likely Time magazine or Newsweek.
Maybe, but those would be short because they never had very long stories. So
short details there.
And, so what did he, besides that, he went on to say he credited the downturn of crime to the vigilance of both his officers and the community.
Well, I want to say something about Chief Haddad, too. Mm-hmm. He definitely is, I'd say he's like a man of the people. The guy is around. I mean, you see him in different places. No big endorsement here, but he goes to Joe's Top Dog and he mixes with the folks there and he does that type of thing. And I think that people find him easy to approach. And I think that has an effect on overall crime.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Just like having this town meeting, I'm not sure how many people attended, but it's a great thing to do. I know my neighborhood association has meetings at the church itself every Wednesday, and they try to have a local official, like the police chief or the fire chief or whoever, to speak. And so, but this was open to everybody in Dearborn. Sorry if you missed it, folks. But that's the way it goes, you know.
Well, we've had him on our show, and he just the way he expresses himself and the way people come across to him is very appropriate thing for this type of city that we have, this mm-hmm. type of environment. So
Well, he's a good communicator, and I think that's one of the requirements of the job is to be that sort of. Very good communicator, be very visible too. All police need to be visible and friendly and, community spirited, and then the community will respond. In the olden days, when I grew up in Detroit, we actually had beat cops that we would see walking most residential neighborhoods.
Sure.
And we had a lot of people in Detroit in the 50s. So imagine how many cops we would have needed for that. And, but especially in the business districts, most business owners would know the one or two cops that regularly patrolled their street on their feet. I mean, walking the beat was, I mean, that's the big phrase. That's what people did. That's how you started out as a police officer. I don't think any officer walks the beat today. Well, today it's very cold. You wouldn't want to walk too much outside today, but it's still, it's that's a way to build confidence and to get community support.
Where I grew up, we had a, it was a smaller town, but we had officers patrolling the beats, and we also had them acting as parking lot attendants in sometimes churches or schools or other events that were happening, so that, you know, you keep your eye, you can, the eye was there. You you knew who your protectors were, sort of thing, you know.
The article goes on here about the town hall meeting with Chief Haddad. He also mentioned the dispatch center, and we had the comment from Fire Chief Murray last week about the dispatch center, supposedly trying to correct some errors, some factual errors from Regan Ford's editorial comment in the paper a couple weeks back. And I made comments last week, so listen to the podcast if you want to hear about that. But Haddad said the department plans to relocate from its current space of 500 square feet. And I'm thinking, the whole police department? No, that's the dispatch center. Still, 500 square feet, that's 50 by 10, or however you want to split it up. 30 by 22 or something. 30 by 20 would make 600 feet. But so that's not a real small space. I mean, 30 by 20 is a very large living room, if anybody has a living room that big. I mean, it's two living rooms, two sunrooms or something. Anyway, though, they're going to relocate from their 500-square-foot space to a 5,500-square-foot space in the Dearborn Administrative Center. I think that's the second floor. I think it's a whole darn second floor, pretty much, because it's not being used, and I think that's what they were talking about. And, of course, it's going to be complete with a state-of-the-art facility and upgrades to current technologies throughout the department, including body cameras for every officer by July 2017. There also plans to consolidate dispatch services with neighboring cities. Yeah, I don't think they need the 5,500 square feet by themselves, if it wasn't for the potential merging facilities, which hasn't been settled yet, with Melvindale, although Melvindale City Council, we talked about this last week, has voted in favor of it, at least currently in favor of it anyway, and also Dearborn Heights. Okay, and continue on page two. You know, the new WHFR Journal is the only news show on the air here that you can hear the pages turning. Yeah, that's right. And that means we're really looking at the paper directly. We're not just making this up, folks. Well, sometimes we do. Well, sometimes we don't have. We can't find the papers because there's too many here. But, of course, the Dearborn City, which council? Dearborn City Council has approved Dearborn Heights and Melvindale taking steps to join the consolidation, but had it plans to move to ask more cities also to take part. Garden City and Inkster have expressed interest in joining, with Wayne and Westland voicing some interest as well. And had it said, we are way behind the curve, this center will fix that. So certainly I think 5,500 square feet should take care of a lot of dispatchers. A lot of phone lines, a lot of internet connections. I'm just wondering how much space they need for, I mean, they talked about new technology somehow being incorporated in that space, the body cameras. So they're probably going to have a facility to charge up batteries for all the body cameras and to, you know, fix the broken body cameras when somebody falls on them or they get ripped off in a fight or something. So, and then you have to have a way to save the footage somewhere, too. I don't think that they just let it disappear after a shift. I would assume that even if there wasn't a particular disturbance or whatever, that they would keep it for a while just in case something came up later.
Yeah.
So they need computers for that and servers and, you know, hard drives. And, oh, my goodness. So that would take some of the 5,500 square feet, but I'm not sure how much or how many people would be involved in the body camera department. Members of the audience also asked Chief Haddad a variety of questions. One man asked if the city needed additional funds besides the nearly $4 million in grants the department and Dearborn Fire Chief Joseph Murray have worked to secure recently, or if there was a possibility of a future millage to make sure the project was funded. Ah, this project, that is the the dispatch center. Haddad says our aim is to remain cost neutral. If we have to spend a penny more, well, then we should, he says. Well, a penny more? I'll give him the penny.
Yeah.
Just call me. I'll give you the penny. 2 cents, I don't know. You know, a lot of people want my 2 cents, but other than listening to the show, I am a retired teacher, so we don't have a lot of extra money, folks. But I'll give him a penny. Okay, put me on the list. A woman asked what the department will do about post-election racial discrimination in the city, and the chief said that any resident who is being threatened or feels like they're being threatened or harassed should call or visit the police department, and they will investigate every type of threat. Resident Ken Paris thanked Haddad and the officers for, quote, having this meeting and to those officers hoofing the beat. Yeah, I just don't know how many are actually out there walking, but anyway. A special needs student asked the chief about a registered disabilities plan. Haddad then described the program to listeners. Residents can register special needs family members on the police department's website that will send a red flag to responding officers to let them know that there is a special needs person at that residence. And I'm not sure what the definition there of special needs is, but I mean, in a way, they've had some problems with people that they were going to try to question. They were stopping to question them, and these people didn't seem to respond appropriately to what they were saying. And it was later found out that they were mentally impaired, or they were deaf, or you should not overreact until you find out what the actual background of these people are. So maybe that's not a bad idea, although I'm sure some people don't want to have every little detail about their life and their family member's life registered with the police department. But if there's a problem of somebody misunderstanding, a police officer especially, who or what is going on, if this would resolve the problem, then it's probably a safety factor to do that. Sort of like, I guess, having fingerprints on file for your kids in case they're abducted, kidnapped. Then having a fingerprint can help to track them down. Maybe they find a fingerprint in somebody's car and can help convict somebody too, as well as maybe finding them. So there is a value in having a fingerprint or fingerprints. I'm not sure they just do one or the whole hand or something.
Yep.
Yeah, that's helpful. John?
Well, not only that, but if you're registered and the policeman can check when he encounters somebody like that, his reactions or his reactivity is going to be a little less.
Absolutely.
And that's a good thing. You know, mm-hmm. That's when he knows that he can only should only apply so much force or so much strength to what he has to do, that'll affect the whole situation, you know.
Mm-hmm. Following that, during this discussion, Haddad also said the department's use of force has dramatically decreased since 2007, from 192 incidents of force and 49 uses of a taser then to 15 uses of force this year with zero uses of a taser. That's a tremendous decline of violent interaction between police and the public here in Dearborn. 67% of the time people are drunk, high, or have mental issues, he said, in terms of those incidents where they needed to use force. So I guess you can avoid them by not getting drunk or high, or at least having them notified about your mental issues, that registry that he talked about. He talked about two fatal shootings involving Dearborn officers in December 2015 and January this year. And he says, I can tell you that mental issues were involved with both cases. Our prosecutor, Kim Worthy, will leave no stone unturned. And they give some background on that there. And okay, that pretty much sums up what happened. And if you missed it, I'm sure they'll do it again next year or maybe more often. And certainly Chief Haddad, that's H-A-D-D-A-D, Ron Haddad, is available. And other people on his staff to talk to anybody at any time about any concern, because they're there to serve us, right? That's the whole idea. So there you are. Okay, let's see what else is in last Sunday. I think that's it. John wants me to mention the Groseal schools were named the safest in Metro Detroit. So there you go. Congratulations, John. Are you personally helping to safeguard the schools? Do you...
Safe schools. Well, I have a my wife is still a teacher in those schools, so she okay. she is maintaining that order. I'm assuming.
Mm-hmm.
I believe she is.
Well, and maybe it helps that voters in that school district last year approved $39.2 million in bonds for improvements. No, that's in Wyandotte. Okay, Wyandotte. But
we did approve our millage as well for
the school. I'm just saying if they've got money, then they can keep people, things fixed up. They have enough people to monitor the hallways maybe or put guards at the doors. I don't know. I don't know if any school actually has guards there. But
not as much security as mm-hmm. as far as electronics go at Groseal Schools as compared to other districts. But
so Groseal Township Schools are first in safety. Riverview, next safest, then Wyandotte, then Trenton, then Huron, top-rated districts.
They're all pretty close to each
and,
other.
And
right
we don't see Dearborn in this list. Well, they don't have a list of every single rating because it's written for the Downriver News Herald paper, you know, so why would they mention Dearborn?
Right.
Allen Park was 28th, Woodhaven 34th, Gibraltar 36th. Where I grew up, Flat Rock 52, Southgate 63rd out of 100, Lincoln Park 68, Romulus 70, Ecorse 80. Well, I don't see Dearborn. Oh, well, maybe we'll find out in the future how things are going to go there. There's a, just running through the paper here, a holiday choral festival, December, that's singing, folks, December 10th, and it's going to be at the Michael A. Guido Theater at the Ford Community and Performing Arts Center at 7 p.m., and of course, today is the 9th, so tomorrow, it's Saturday, so it's going to happen at 7 p.m. tomorrow, so that's a great thing. It's going to be both the Dearborn Community Chorus, directed by Marcus LaPrat, and the Vanguard Voices, directed by our own G. Kevin Dewey, and I always say the first letter that he is known by of his, whatever his first name is, stands for G. Wiz, or Golly, because he's very talented and does a great job directing Vanguard Voices and several other vocal groups here. So they do traditional Christmas songs, and it's great to hear all the voices. It's a great thing for the family, in fact, prior to the concert, Cherry Hill Consort, a recorder, that is an instrument, folks, a recorder assembly will perform from 6:15 to 6:45 in the lobby of the center there. Of course, it's not free because they're also giving you a reception afterwards of cider and cookies. So anyway, reserve tickets are $18, $15, $11, and $6 for students. They can be purchased between 11 and 7. Tuesdays through Saturdays at the theater box office. Again, we're talking about the Ford Community and Performing Arts Theater, also known as the Michael A. Guido Theater. And apparently either yesterday or today or somewhere in the last couple of days, it's the 10th anniversary of his death. I'm not sure he'd be in favor of our remembering his death. Supposedly there's a quote in the Bible that the historical Jesus didn't want people to remember his death.
Oh. Didn't know.
Which is a contradiction to the whole Easter thing, unfortunately. But remember the good works he did and remember what he stood for. And, of course, his death meant some things symbolically if you're into that, of course. But Michael A. Guido was on this show many times when he was mayor, and always a very challenging interview, let me say.
Yes.
Very witty,
okay.
Very sharp. You know, he was a communication major at Wayne State University, wow. Like... where I got my degree in the communication area too, but he was very quick. A very strong mayor and did a lot of good things and finally did, of course, as after his death, get the theater itself named after him in honor, in memory of him. So anyway, the Holiday Choral Festival tomorrow at the Ford Performing Arts Facility, December 10th, 7 p.m.
And I want to say that Dearborn Community Chorus is an excellent chorus. I sang in there last summer.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
Kevin Dewey's father was one of the gentlemen that sang right next to me.
That's right.
Very, very fine group.
Yeah, actually, his father, I know, has been a part of choruses here. I mean, he sang in several of ours. I think he just wants to keep track of his son, actually. But
keep track of each other.
Well, that's one way. So I don't get to meet my dad except after all the concert. I don't know if that's true. But I know that even when I was department head back in between 88 and 98 of the performing arts area here at the college, his dad was part of the chorus, at least in the choral classes at that time.
Right.
And now he's expanded to probably sing and everything. Okay. Dearborn Times Herald from this last Wednesday, December 7th, yes, Pearl Harbor Day. And the ninth birthday of my granddaughter. So happy birthday, April. Took a couple days late. I did come to your party, remember, last Friday. So happy birthday, though. The story about Abdel Hamoud, set to become the first Muslim to represent Dearborn in our legislature. That's the Michigan 15th House District. George DeRaney is at the end of his term limits. 6 years, three terms, 3 2-year terms, and you're out by law. Even if you're doing a great job, even if you learned all kinds of stuff and you're ready to really be a tremendous professional, you get kicked out. So you like those term limits? I think they're wrong. Even Mayor Guido, he always said, we already have term limits, or we already had term limits. It's called elections. You can vote people out if you don't like them. And if we really had a democracy where everybody voted, or a lot more people would vote. Only half the people in the country voted for the President of the United States this year. What would the other half want? I mean, it always boggles my mind.
And that's a better percentage sometimes than the fast elections have been.
Yeah.
You know, certainly. Even more so, though.
Right. And, of course, in the so-called off-year elections, every 2 years after the presidential election, a lot fewer people even vote in those. And those are the important state issues, usually, the people that are closest to you. And 80% of you don't vote in those elections. And those are the people that affect your everyday life and your local taxes, your county taxes, your state taxes. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Imagine if everybody would vote.
And because of that number of people not voting, that is an argument for term limits,
mm-hmm.
so that you don't have the same people have a chance to vote for somebody different from time mm-hmm. to time. I argued for that back in high school when I was a younger lad.
Unfortunately, my voice and your voice haven't made a difference yet, but
yeah.
But we're on the radio now, so watch out. Whoa.
Yeah.
Who knows what'll happen in 2017
yeah.
just because we're on the radio. Anyway, Abdullah Hamoud is 26 years old, not the youngest in the legislature,
no.
Because Jewel Jones, elected now from the Dearborn Heights Garden City area, is going to start in office in January, and he's only 21. He'll be the youngest ever legislator. Both of them are Democrats, by the way. And they have great resumes and education behind them, so we'll see how that goes. I'm hoping to get George DeRaney for an exit interview here. I mean, what have you learned, George, after 6 years? And what have you told Abdullah Hamoud about trying to hit the floor running when he comes into office in January? Because I bet he wants a few tips from the guy that knows best. Who's been there for the last 6 years. So we're going to get George here if he's not available, because next week they might still be in lame duck session. I don't know. And 2 weeks from today, well, it's the day before Christmas Eve Day. So I really don't expect anyone to come as a guest that close to holiday weekend. I'll be here, but so we might have George DeRaney. We will definitely have George DeRaney at least in January to talk about his career as our representative, and that should be very educational. I'm always surprised about what representatives say after their term in office, when they can say pretty much whatever they want to. They don't have to be a politician about it. That is, say something in general or exaggerated because they want to get reelected again, it's usually pretty amazing. Okay, looking also through the Times Herald here, bagged waste collection in Dearborn. They listened to me. Remember, I asked 3 weeks ago or so for Dearborn to extend the trash container loose leaf collection, not loose leaf, That's a notebook, isn't it? Not raking the leaves to the curb. They stopped that a couple weeks ago, but to give us one more week to bag up stuff. And then the snow and the ice hit. And then Monday, which is my last collection day of leaves, what do I have to do? Chip the leaves out of the ice on my front lawn?
Dig them out of the snow?
I think they're going to be there a while, you know. Unfortunately, it would have been great if the weather just stayed warm for three more days. Then I could have got the rest of my leaves up and got them collected. But thank you for listening to the show. I told you folks that the city of Dearborn is listening to the show, and by gosh, that's what they did. They extended the leaf collection because we asked them to.
They'll just be good fertilizer for next year's lawn.
Absolutely, yes. Okay. I think that's all in the Times Herald. Well, here's a nice thing. We don't talk enough about Downriver, right, John? Meet Mr. Dickens. You know, yes. Charles Dickens, famous for, of course, A Christmas Carol, among many other stories and novels. You know, Scrooge and so on, and the three ghosts, Christmas past, present, and future. Okay. We're going to have a guy from Gros Isle Township, Mark McPherson. Ever met him, John?
I know Mark, yes.
John knows everybody.
Mark has done many, many presentations like Theodore Roosevelt and Abe Lincoln. He's had a long career of doing this.
Yeah,
type
it's sort of
thing.
Like a solo performance, but he becomes a character. He does his research and he knew Dale Van Dorp here on campus too, and he performed a couple times in our Fine Arts Center right here, our Adrae Auditorium here at Henry Ford College years ago. McPherson is also an author, a filmmaker, and a playwright. And those portrayals, you mentioned some of them. I'll just read the list here. Arthur Conan Doyle, reading some Sherlock Holmes, I guess. Winston Churchill, George Bernard Shaw, Theodore Roosevelt, Mark Twain, and the others that John mentioned, too. And there's going to be a little music and played also. There's no charge for this event. Oh, my gosh. And there's going to be refreshments, wine punch, cookies, and fruit. So you're saying, quick, tell me where and when. It's 3 p.m. in the main gallery, the James R. DeSana Center for Arts and Culture, 81 Chestnut Street in Wyandotte. So all those of you listening to this radio in Wyandotte, you want to get down there because it's Sunday, 3 p.m. Okay.
Just two or three blocks from the main center of the city, real close to the center city of Wyandotte.
Main street?
Jefferson.
Jefferson. Okay. Yep. So just just a little bit over or a little bit right towards the river.
It's right off Jefferson, as a matter of fact.
Right off Jefferson.
Connects into Jefferson.
You know? Right. Just look at James R. DeSana, DeSana, Center for the Arts. And that will be great. And so the event is called Meet Mr. Dickens, and he'll give some, since he's portraying Dickens, he's dressed up in a period costume, and he's got his picture here too. But so he'll talk a little bit about his own, Dickens' background and history, and maybe how he came about to write the story, A Christmas Carol. And it will have spirited readings from that too.
Did you say that was?
It's
on
3
Sunday?
p.m. Sunday.
3 p.m.
Yeah, and it's free, and the refreshments and the music before. Oh, my goodness. Oh, donations are accepted if you want to pay, because wine, oh, my gosh. As well as a little Hawaiian punch, if that doesn't hurt you. Cookies and fruit, too. So I assume you want to give them a little donation. And the Downriver Arts Council, the DCA, is that what it stands for?
Yep.
They have a gift shop there in the building, and they're going to be offering paintings, jewelry, ceramics, books, and other items for sale. And a Christmas tree has been decorated with handmade ornaments, also available for $5 and $10 each. So a nice little holiday gathering, which has that Christmas flavor, and it comes alive when you see a real person doing the reading and somebody as professional as Mark. Haven't talked to him. I did meet him years ago in our Adrae Auditorium, but haven't talked to him in a long time. So,
plus, if you want to register for classes that are held at the DeSana Center, that's also a good opportunity to do that.
Yeah. I think people in Dearborn, we don't realize how close Wyandotte is. Now, Gros Isle, oh, my gosh, that's so far away. But Wyandotte is relatively close, and they're all close, really.
Well, Wyandotte, Wyandotte's, I'd say, eastern edge is almost by Southfield Freeway, or Southfield Road, I should say.
Yep.
So it's a big city.
We've got a couple of pre-recorded comments here. We'll be back with John and myself and a few more stories that we have for you on the show today. This is the new WHFR Journal for December the 9th, 2016. Here's a sort of a nationally flavored comment about working class people from Jim Hightower, followed by a state-related comment about Republicans in Michigan. Wonder what he could say about them. Here we go.
Wilson says he finally understood the meaning of the word.
Let's start that over. I missed the beginning there. Here we go, Jim. Sorry, Jim.
Actor Jack Nicholson says he finally understood the meaning of the word irony when his mother called him a son of a bitch. So let us consider Donnie Trump, who campaigned as the populist champion of the working class, promising that by gollies he was going to take on Wall Street and the corporate elites. But the bitter irony for the working class is that they now see what the SOB meant. He's literally taking on the moneyed powers by taking them on board his administration. For example, he's brought in Wall Street billionaires to fill the three top economic policy positions in his cabinet. Then there's Betsy DeVos, the billionaire heiress to the scandal-plagued Amway fortune. Her life's work has been trying to defund and privatize the public schools that working-class people count on and to eliminate the working-class jobs of teachers and support staff. Her new job with Trump? Secretary of Education, where she'll now use our public money to try killing off our public education system. And here comes Myron Ebell, a honcho of the Competitive Enterprise Institute, a corporate front group funded by fossil fuel profiteers like Exxon and the Koch brothers, where he pushed relentlessly to gut the Environmental Protection Agency. Where's he now? Heading Trump's EPA transition team. Also, more than half of the Donald's Department of Defense transition team have been executives or lobbyists for such military contractors as Boeing. Overall, according to watchdog group Public Citizen, 3/4 of Trump's transition teams, which are organizing, staffing, and shaping our new government, come from corporate world. Not a single working-class populist has been allowed a seat at his power table. This is Jim Hightower saying, as America's working stiffs know, if you're not at the table, you're on the menu. Trump is no populist. He's a full-tilt corporatist.
What do the corporate powers from Wall Street to Walmart have in common? They hate the Hightower Lowdown. You can see why at www.hightowerlowdown.org.
Oh, I just couldn't resist having a little bit of the spirit of the season from Polar Express theme done by the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. Because, yes, the snow has fallen. It does feel like Christmas because I'm cold and I'm slipping on the ice. So that's it means Christmas is not far away, and that's too bad. But okay, now I wanted to look at a story from this last Wednesday's Press and Guide. I was scared, you know, a week ago, John, because I subscribed to the Press and Guide, the Dearborn Press and Guide, and I got the Downriver Times-Herald instead. So I was thinking, oh, my God, the Dearborn paper is dead. All I'm going to get is the News Herald now. And nope. It must have been a mistake on my carrier's part because I have a Dearborn Press and Guide from Wednesday, December 7th, in front of me. The top story on page one, it's not the big story, but the top of the page, Governor Snyder announces fixes for state's infrastructure. He came to the Henry Ford, you know, also known as Henry Ford Greenfield Village area here in Dearborn, and he had a private group that issued a 188-page report outlining goals for the next 30 to 50 years in Michigan, coordinating the infrastructural planning by creating a statewide asset management system. Michigan spends less on infrastructure upkeep than the average both nationally and in surrounding states. And of course, the big issue for us has always been roads. And the $700 million hasn't even kicked in yet to help repair that, which the legislature decided to choose. And that was less than Governor Snyder asked for 3 years ago. And now, what's the number? $4 billion a year is needed to catch up for at least 10 to 15 years. $4 billion. Now, this report for infrastructure is more than just roads, though. It also talks about water. Like, Michigan might have a problem with aging infrastructure, that is the pipes that feed our water systems in our cities, like Flint, Michigan. Yes, there was $200 million approved just in the last day or two in Washington, D.C., to help fix the aging infrastructure in Flint. So thank you very much, U.S. Congress, and Debbie Dingell, and other representatives from the state who said, look, we got no money in Michigan. The voters can't get any money passed through Republicans, and so can the national government do something? But we need a lot more support for all the other cities, including Detroit and even Dearborn, although we're not doing too badly. Mayor O'Reilly proudly proclaims that over 50% of our water supply pipes are new or will be new when the combined sewer overflow project, which was redesigned to include some new pipes for the regular water system, is completed in a few years, well, maybe 10 years. But so we're pretty well along. There's still, again, half the system to be redone, but it has to be done. Transportation recommendations. Obviously, we didn't pass the Regional Transit Authority and the programs that were there, so we've got to do stuff. We've got to take care of all these needs. And the story is in, as I said, the Press and Guide, probably pressandguide.com. If you want to look at it yourself, if you don't have a copy of the paper, shame on you. It talks about all the transportation recommendations from this independent group appointed by the governor. And it's great for him to do this. Energy recommendations for cleaner energy, more reliability, electricity, natural gas safety, and communications recommendations. Improving broadband, that's cable access and adoption, making Michigan a top five state for broadband access and adoption. Establish the Michigan Consortium on Advanced Networks, because networking is, you know, how the information flows around. The only thing I have to remind the listeners about is that, well, the headline that we announced, Governor announces fixes for state's infrastructure. Yeah, he announced the fixes, but guess what? It has to go through the legislature. And, of course, they're not going to approve $4 billion more a year. They'll probably say, well, we don't have it, so too bad. Well, then we need to raise some money, like maybe raise taxes on those people who can afford to pay taxes so that we can get what everybody needs in the state. And it'll be good for business, too. If we have state-of-the-art, I mean, Michael Moore in Traverse City, yes, Mike, hard to believe that liberal Michael Moore, I was going to use some other adjectives, but we know he's liberal. And Traverse City is very Republican, very conservative, actually. But that's where he chose to live. And he has been lobbying for the last 10 years. First of all, he did a great thing for downtown Traverse City. He got the State Theater renovated and opening, and it's the biggest, best, and most, it handles the most moviegoers every year of any theater in Michigan. Because a lot of people, because he's got great programming, great movies, foreign films, U.S. films, little-known films, a lot of free matinees for the kids. State Theater, downtown Traverse City. If you go there, you got to visit. It has nothing to do with Michael Moore. I mean, don't worry about his liberalness. It's a great theater for the whole family. And he's opened a second theater, too, in the same area called the Bijou Theater. And he also helped fund and get community support for redoing their opera house. And now it's all rebuilt and beautiful, and they have all kinds of great touring shows in this very, very classy. And that's right down on the main street. So all the downtown business district has really been renovated because people are coming down there, both for the movies and the performances of the opera house. And it really did a great thing for the city. Well, he's been asking that they get high-speed internet, the highest speed ever for all the businesses in Traverse City, so that people don't feel like, well, we can't relocate our business there because we've got a slow internet connection. That's not good for business. No, if they can put the state-of-the-art internet connection and they still haven't in downtown Traverse City, but they're close to adopting it, then they can attract tons of business. So this $4 billion a year, folks, if you talk about trying to make jobs for people and get more business and more growth and everybody have more fun, then definitely that's what needs to be done. So don't misunderstand that story. There's no money yet. The legislature has to figure out where to get the money. And, of course, to raise taxes on anybody, especially the people that have the money, the rich, the Republicans are not going to do. And so if it doesn't get done, everybody is hurt. That's my editorial opinion.
This was just a good time to say. I was going to say opinions expressed by we hosts are not necessarily the views of HFC or WHFR.
No. But we appreciate them allowing us to state them.
We do.
Yes.
And we encourage listeners to have those independent views as well.
Right, and have talk among your friends about what do you think, and give feedback to the governor. Say thank you for that report, and thank you for identifying again, as you did 4 or 5 years ago, about the needs to just even fix the roads, and the legislature didn't listen to you. Mm-hmm. Okay. Of course, there's things we could blame you for. I won't go into that. Motor City Brass Band plays Sounds of the Season on December 18th. At, of course, the Ford Community and Performing Arts Center. That's always a great time. They certainly get a lot of brass, too. That's the whole idea, yes. And they say it's more than a concert. It's a show.
Oh, yes. The concert features a special partnership with the Dearborn School's Elementary and Secondary Honors Choirs to commemorate its long-standing relationship with the Dearborn community. Mm-hmm. Members of the Motor City Brass Band said they take pride in producing a quality and entertaining musical experience for the whole family, currently ranked among the top brass bands in the country. Tickets are $14 for adults and can be had by calling the office 313-943-2354 or at dearborntheater.com.
Thank you for that. Here's a report about Tesla automobiles in Michigan. They're still not allowed, thanks to the wisdom of our legislature, to sell directly to people from their Tesla factory stores, showrooms. Okay, but they are in many, many other states. And of course, they're hoping in 2 years to introduce a $35,000, that is the least expensive all-electric car that will be out there at that point. Well, that's the least expensive car of all. The Nissan Leaf is less expensive. Okay, just to make that clear. But, a lot of people think it's a good car. And conflict of interest, for the sake of conflict of interest, I have to mention that even though I'm doing this story, yes, I own stock in Tesla. Hmm. Not much, but because I'm a poor teacher. But I'm supporting the effort of electric cars by owning a share or two of Tesla stock, which has not done real well, unfortunately, so I'm not making any money on this. but I'm supporting the cause, if you will. Well, they're now opened a gallery inside the Nordstrom department store, at the Somerset Collection Shopping Mall in Troy, Michigan. And so you can go up and visit the store, and a little segment of the store, they've got one of their cars. Actually, it's their SUV, the Model X, with the gull wing doors for the rear seat passengers. I think that's so cool. Although, I want it for the front seat passengers. I want it, it almost makes you feel like I want somebody else to drive, and I'll sit in the back seat so I can use the gull wing doors to get in and out. That's really special. But nonetheless, it's a 700-square-foot space, not very big, but they've got a single white Tesla Model X crossover there, and you can look at it. Now, if you did want to buy a Tesla in Michigan, you can't, directly from them, but you can order it, and they will deliver it to you in Michigan. Or you can pick them up at a Tesla retail store in neighboring states. I think there's one in Cleveland. That's the next closest one. I don't think there's one in Toledo right now. There are repair facilities elsewhere. But I just think there's no reason why a company store, a factory store, selling anything should be against the law in Michigan. Don't say, well, it protects jobs in Michigan. They don't have that many people assembling cars from the major manufacturers, the so-called Detroit auto workers. Not that many anymore. We're not really protecting anything. Tesla is at least made in America.
Yeah.
My golly.
Yeah.
They're an all-American company. Let's get
them out there. No.
Well, I'm just saying, if that's your choice, all electric cars are certainly the way it's going to be in the future. And they're a little pricey now. Most of these Tesla cars are above $70,000, but the new one might get more people to consider it. Chevy Bolt, just in fairness here, is now being sold. The Chevy Bolt is an all-electric car that Chevy's selling for about $38,000, and they're only in California right now. So maybe they'll get to Michigan someday, but Ford has an all-electric Focus.
Yep.
But they're primarily selling them in California as a so-called, there's a phrase for it. It's a requirement in order to qualify for car sales in California. They have to sell so many all-electric cars because they have very good miles per gallon and very little pollution. And so they're fulfilling that requirement. There's a term for
that. They have to go for
somehow. Yes. So they're losing money. Apparently, even the Chevy Bolt report just came out online. I think it's pretty accurate that Chevy is losing $9,000 per car.
It just seems odd that Chevy and GM and Ford, the markup on a small car doesn't make the difference.
Not much anyway. Right.
The bigger trucks,
right?
You know,
yeah,
so.
Yeah, and of course, batteries are the main cost element there, and in electric cars, and the cost of batteries have dropped like 50% over the last 8 years or so. Same thing for solar panels, but so we'll see where that goes. But I'm just saying, this is just a business report, folks, for the good of complete user choice. You can at least look at a Tesla Model X. At the Nordstrom department store in Troy. Okay.
Want to read that?
Yes.
Debbie Dingell.
Go ahead.
Okay.
John. Okay. Debbie Dingell is continuing a tradition that her husband, John Dingell, who represented this area for so many years and now Debbie has taken over, of writing a holiday poem reflecting on the whole year. So give it a try, John.
Okay. 'Twas the day before the government would shut down for business. When the House came together, we passed a budget before Christmas. While Congress moved slowly in its usual fashion, one issue in particular wasn't getting much traction. Sell ice to an Eskimo, said some said with a glint. Do that, and then finally we'll give you money for Flint. We fought tooth and nail, and reason finally prevailed. We passed funding for Flint families, the waiting curtailed. Now that the partisan tug of war is complete, we reflect on a year of both challenges and treats. From cures to Great Lakes, we did make some progress. A medal of honor for a hero was done in the process.
Very good, John. Thank you very much. And rhyme is a little not very good there. But I should say in the fact that, the House passed a budget for the country so that everything wouldn't shut down before Christmas. The problem is the U.S. Senate, it has to go through the House and then the Senate, and the president signs it. Still hasn't worked it out. That's as of today, the last I heard this morning, the U.S. Senate still has not passed this even temporary extension of the budget we currently have. So maybe there'll be a shutdown before Christmas. And then all we can do is hope Santa Claus will make up the difference somehow, I guess. Comment. Go ahead, John.
There's more, actually. There's a second page of that.
We didn't turn the page over. Yeah, well, go ahead and
second
finish.
Half.
What
okay.
the heck? Go ahead.
In Rio, we showcased the best of the best. The best
yep.
of the best.
Yeah, Rio de Janeiro, the Olympics, yeah.
For mm-hmm. Team USA, Simone vaulted above all the rest. Michael Phelps took home his 23rd gold medal. From basketball to rowing, our team was incredible. We were all celebrating, but then turned to despair when Lochte showed up with bad behavior and worse hair. At home, Michigan sports teams continued to shine. Jumpman debuted while Harbaugh racked up some fines. While EMU and the Lions have newfound success, we know that First Down in Columbus was truly a mess. But not to worry, this holiday we have two bowl games to see, EMU in the Bahamas and in Miami, the Wolverines. As the new year approaches, we've seen such stark divisions. Our country has spoken. We've made big decisions. We all have moved forward in our own way. In our office, we chose a Christmas display. But good news for Trump and his Twitter vice. Even at 90, the dean's still tweeting advice. So we say goodbye to a president who lifted us up. To be sure, in these 8 years, he's earned his new look. No one will be sadder to see him go than his friend and our favorite Vice President Joe. But maybe, just maybe, a new announcement we'll see. Happy holidays to all, and Biden 2020.
Okay, that did it.
That did it.
Yes, thank you, Debbie Dingell. Yeah. Maybe John working in the background there, because that was his thing. Okay, an editorial opinion, which you should read about at pressandguide.com and in the paper this week, Regan Ford, guest columnist, always bringing up interesting ideas and writing extensive articles. His idea this week that he thinks there should be a crime-free rental housing program, and this is what it is. Okay, he says, Dearborn, and I'm just reading segments here, Dearborn deserves better than a poverty rate, nearly double the national average, better than the 6th highest property crime rate in the state. 3 out of every 4 public school students qualify for free or reduced lunch. You and I both know nothing will drive crime and property rates up for and good homeowners out quicker than living next to a rundown rental operating as a drug den or used car lot. Today, 1 out of every 6 houses in Dearborn is a rental. The number has increased roughly 36% since 2009. Dearborn has many good landlords. I want to stress that law-abiding renters and residents are welcome in our city, but tax evaders, criminals, and drug dealers are not. Many of the irresponsible landlords in Dearborn, Regan Ford goes on to say, fail to register their rental house. So who knows how many there really are. Many also fail to pay property taxes, as we've seen. Some fail to screen other tenants or maintain their property. Enough is enough. I talk to Dearborn law enforcement officers all the time about this problem. Many of them would love to be in the neighborhoods cleaning them up, but their hands are tied. It's time to give the Dearborn Police Department the means to hold these problem rentals accountable to the law, while giving the 19th District Court the teeth to enforce it. We have a great police force, but most police force work is quote-unquote reactive, meaning a crime is committed and an officer responds. Why not be proactive and discourage criminal activity from the start? But at the end, he does say, it means that rentals, once registered properly and so on, you couldn't rent your property to somebody who was convicted of a crime. He thinks that the city can go and penalize both the tenant and landlord for any violations of quality of life, as it's called. And he gives details in his opinion about how that could be done. He says that some people say that the crime-free rental housing program discriminates. He says this is false. The Federal Fair Housing Act lists 7 protected classes: race, color, religion, national origin, sex, family status, and disability. A person's criminal behavior is not listed as a protected law class. Of course, the question comes up, maybe it should be.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, just because it's not listed doesn't mean that maybe it shouldn't be on the list. But I'm just saying, so read that. I bet we're going to get some responses because he's suggesting there's a lot of this type of upset in our community. And Chief Haddad should respond, mm-hmm. I think. So we may get another really testy editorial in a week or two from Chief Haddad, unless he gets in the Christmas spirit and just lets it pass. The last I heard, too, is that Regan Ford will be with Lynn Grunst on our Tuesday forum. It's coming Tuesday from 1 to 2 o'clock in a live show. I'm not sure if he's going to be doing all of his opinions, but he's going to be representing, of course, his neighborhood association in Dearborn, and he's currently on the board of the Rotary Club of Dearborn. And so he'll be talking, because that show is our impact show, where we talk about nonprofits and what they're doing for the community. But he may talk about issues in the community that of course, Rotary and his neighborhood association are involved in, too. So tune in for that. It's also available as a podcast, as is this show, of course, from WHFR.FM, the station making waves. Just click on talk shows and choose either WHFR Journal for our Friday show here, or the other category is Tuesday Forum. And that's, of course, this coming Tuesday, the 13th, when Regan Ford is going to be on that show. So you can listen as a podcast anytime after broadcast.
A very quick sports note. Our Henry Ford College Hawks are playing tomorrow in Muskegon. We have won 3 consecutive games, and our next home game won't be until Wednesday, December 21st. We're doing very well. Go Coach Woods and go Hawks.
Okay. Thank you, John. Well, we're going to wrap up now. That's pretty much all the news that fits for this hour. And I'd like to just get you in the holiday spirit, as I did last year, start reading some of the little pieces from a collection by John Updike, famous American author, called The 12 Terrors of Christmas. Everybody always talks about terrorism and so on. Well, look at the basics, folks. Look from this perspective anyway, and be afraid. Be very afraid. Just chapter 1 here. It's very brief. He talks about, John Updike talks about Santa, the man. Loose-fitting nylon beard, fake optical twinkle, cheap red suit, funny rummy smell when you sit on his lap. If he's such a big shot, why is he drawing unemployment for 11 months of the year? Something scary and off-key about him, like one of those Stephen King clowns. Okay, well, that's you see where that's going anyway, and we'll continue with chapter 2 and maybe even 2 or 3 as we get closer to the big day, just 2 weeks from Sunday. Yeah, okay. So be careful driving out there. Of course, it is going to be slick and slippery. Might take a little bit longer to get somewhere, but get there safely. Thank you for listening to the new WHFR Journal. Thank you to John Conroy for being with me, and thanks to Arab American News. They had an interesting story this week, editorial opinion, talking, by the way, take a look at it, either online, ArabAmericanNews.com, or their free paper, which will be around town tomorrow, certainly, and over the weekend, early next week. They talk about fake news epidemic. Somebody actually posted the story that Syrian refugee renounces Islam after tasting bacon for the first time. And that's false. That's false. Bacon can't do it, folks. A new way to convert people to Christianity. But not Judaism, necessarily.
No.
I mean, who's it that's against eating pork? Someone. Some religion. Oh, Muslims.
Muslims.
Yeah. There you go. So, but if they just tasted pork, oh my gosh. Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, so that's it. Tune in next week. And, of course, stay tuned right now on WHFR.FM, WHFR Dearborn, for Highway 61 with Kitty Love. Coming right up for you. The best in the blues from 2 to 4. And here we go. Take care out there.